Come on in, friends. Come on in. Come on in this room and tell me what's new and good with you on this chilly Tuesday. It's a brisk, is it 28? I think it's 28 degrees here. I'm like, oh, I need to turn the fireplace on and turn it on high. Anyway, my name is Krishanda Torres, your friendly Christian health and wealth coach. Just in case you didn't know, I was a Christian health and wealth coach. Most of you do know, but sometimes you have to reiterate it for the new listeners. And this is Couch Combos with Chris. If this is your first time tuning into this podcast, I help African-American women over 40 get rid of sugar and debt because, as my favorite poet, Lizelle Graham, said, every woman who heals herself heals her children's children. March is National Nutrition Month, and before we continue with our titillating topic for this month, which is dietary theory, we must first dispense with the formalities of the medical disclaimer. The statements you hear on this podcast have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. Any products you hear mentioned in this podcast are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Krishanda Torres is not a physician, and the relationship between Krishanda and her clients is not of a prescriber and patient, but as health coach and client. It is fully the client's choice whether or not to take advantage of the information Krishanda presents. OT&E Inc. and Krishanda Torres cannot guarantee any specific outcome, and your individual results may vary. Before beginning or adding any named supplement or modality that you hear mentioned on this podcast to your health routine or regime, please consult with a functional medicine or naturopathic doctor. Now that the formalities are over, friends, let's get into our titillating topic and continue our titillating topic. As I said, this month we've been deep diving dietary theory. As many of you know, I studied over 100 dietary theories as part of my health coach training program with the awesome Institute for Integrative Nutrition, the number one nutrition school in these United States. And so we are exploring the top 25 diets this month, just in case you had questions about them or you had heard about one and it's mentioned in the podcast and you got some details you didn't otherwise know. So we're going to keep it going. We're still on the letter G as we're going through the dietary alphabet. Ha, that's funny. And today we're going to talk about the glycemic diet. Now, what do you know about the glycemic diet? Nothing? Oh, okay. Well, friends, let me help you out. The glycemic index, aka GI diet, actually measures food on a scale of 0 to 100 based on the degree to which it increases the blood sugar levels in the body. And so based on this rating, each food is classified as a low, medium, or high GI food, okay? This diet does argue that all foods, which we should know this, are not created equal, nor should they be treated as such. For example, low GI foods are foods with a GI rating less than or equal to 55. Medium GI foods or foods rated 56 to 69, and high GI foods are foods that are equal to or greater than 70 on the glycemic index scale. The lower the GI level of the food, then of course, the slower the food is digested and absorbed, which is a good thing. And the higher the GI level, the faster the food is digested and absorbed, which is not a good thing. So let's make that more practical and more common sense. Here are some common low GI foods that you can wrap your mind around. Beef, chicken, lamb, scallops, winter squash, garlic, carrots, asparagus, avocados, beans, nuts, broccoli, cabbage, fennel, kale, and olive oil. Now, the medium GI examples are things like millet, watermelon, beets, sweet potatoes, corn, and leeks. And of course, you guessed it, the high GI foods, which are the faster, you know, foods that are digested and absorbed, are usually high in starch, such as potatoes, white bread, and white pasta. All of the enemies of what we talked about yesterday, which was the gluten-free diet. Now, what is the goal of the glycemic index diet? Okay, well, the goal again is to control blood sugar levels by controlling your rate of digestion. Again, lower GI foods digest more slowly, so that provides a steady stream of energy rather than a spike in energy followed by a crash. And low GI foods have less of an effect on your blood sugar and insulin levels, which will of course lead to a longer feeling of fullness or satiety and reduced cravings, as well as an increase in energy and stabilized moods. Now, this is said to help reduce the possibility of overeating and help you stabilize your mood. So, what is the takeaway from there? We do want to try to focus and incorporate more low GI foods, and experimenting with the glycemic index GI diet, again, under the care of your medical collaborative team, which includes your functional medicine doctor, naturopathic doctor, dietitian, nutritionist, and health coach. Okay? One convenient aspect of the GI diet is the concept of food swapping. Well, what does that mean, Krishanda? Well, I'm so glad you asked. What it means is you swap out, or you switch out one of those high foods. So one of those high foods that I mentioned that we all love is bread, you know, especially the bread from Carrabba's with the spices. I don't like the oil. I just like the bread and the spices. Okay, so let's swipe out, example, the bread for a lower GI food to make the same meal. Again, like I said, that would be instead of the white bread, the delicious bread from Carrabba's with the herbs. You don't have to give up the herbs, but it has a GI of 71. Well, then let's swap it out for some multigrain bread that has a GI of 48. And when we add in certain foods such as legumes to one of our meals, it helps to again slow the rate of digestion and absorption, which helps us to feel fuller, more satiated in what we're eating, and reduce our cravings and increase our energy and stabilize our moods. One other way that we can do those things is when we're eating, practice mindfulness. Be aware of what we're eating, not just blatantly shove the food in our mouth because we got to get back to work. No, take our time, savor the flavor, chew it, feel it as we're digesting it. So, as always with the dietary series that we talk about, we talk a little bit about the diet, then we talk about the foods to include, foods to avoid, pros and cons, and then I always like to provide receipts, aka references, that you can check out for yourself, because again, we challenge you to embrace the four R's. You can receive this information, you can reason with this information, you can completely reject it, but I always, always circle the last R of the four R's, which is go ahead and research it for yourself. Now, the foods to include: vegetables, fruits, whole grains, meat, poultry, fish, eggs, beans, nuts and seeds, and healthy oils. Okay. Foods to avoid, of course, refined grains, sugar, because we want to balance the blood sugar, not send it through the roof, trans fats, and of course, processed foods. Some of the pros of this diet are that there's no calorie counting with the glycemic index. It's relatively easy to follow. It does help you reduce your risk of heart disease, which, in case you didn't know, heart disease is the number one killer of both men and women. It's a silent killer. So whatever you could do to reduce your risk is absolutely imperative and warranted. It also helps you to improve control over diabetes if you're someone who suffers from being a diabetic or having diabetes. Now, the cons: if you're like me and math is not your ministry, then this might not be for you, because some math and knowledge of the GI ratings will of course be required, which is why you should do it under the supervision of a naturopathic, functional medicine doctor, dietitian, nutritionist, and health coach, because you're going to need help with that math. And the math isn't math, and if you're relying on just me to tell you, okay? One of the other downsides is that you have to select appropriate meals, and that might be difficult and inefficient, and you may become frustrated. That's where I see a lot of people and a lot of clients run into the frustration when they're dining out. It's almost the same way with if you're practicing the gluten-free, or you have a gluten allergy, or you have a wheat allergy. I have a friend that prepares her meals and takes her meals with her, because that's just easier than coming across as difficult because you know you have a food sensitivity or a dietary restriction, and you're in a public space where you can't really control what they're putting in the food in the kitchen, then where you can't see them. So again, that might be a con for you for this diet, as it might be a little bit difficult when you're dining out. It also may be difficult for you to avoid processed foods. I always love to give you the pros and the cons so you can make an informed decision, again, after speaking with your medical collaborative team about which one you want to experiment, and or if you're already experimenting and you didn't know these things, I'm glad to be able to edify them and help you to make better choices and provide education so that you can make better choices to reach that optimal health that you desire. So one of the things about the glycemic index diet, again, I said it helps to helps you to balance your blood sugar, and blood sugar is tied into diabetes, etc. You might wonder, well, Krishanda, why is blood sugar maintenance key to better health? Okay, well, first, let's establish a couple of things. Blood sugar, or your glucose, is the fuel that keeps our cells alive and functioning. So it's especially important that we take care of that, that we know what it is, right? What is blood sugar? So I don't want to assume that you know, so I'll go ahead and explain a little bit. What is the blood sugar? Like I said, it's the glucose that comes from all kinds of carbohydrates. Really, it's a simple sugar like table sugar, and it's found in refined flour and complex carbohydrates like barley. Glucose is also found in fruit, and even a small amount of the protein and fats that we eat are actually converted into glucose. But the main source of glucose is carbohydrates, okay? And anyone who has done a low carbohydrate diet knows that for the body, that the body actually can burn fat for fuel, but generally most tissue prefers glucose, sugar, as their fuel. And this is especially true for our brains, our hearts, and our skeletal muscles. So it's imperative to know what blood sugar is. And again, the glycemic index does support, this diet does support helping you with your blood sugar maintenance. I also want, you know, I always mention the references, and I'll attach the reference for you on Blood Sugar 101 so that you can look at this information for yourself. Now, usually the follow-up question is, okay, well, great, you told me what blood sugar is, but how is the sugar metabolized? What are the other health issues related to blood sugar? What are factors that influence blood sugar? How do I balance my blood sugar? And what is a, can you give me a sample, Krishanda, of a blood sugar friendly day? Again, I will link the Blood Sugar 101 handout to the podcast so that you can review it for yourself. But yes, just briefly, we'll touch on a little bit of that. So the function of insulin is to regulate the level of sugar that's circulating in the blood while keeping fuel on hand for your daily activities and any of those fight or flight situations. And so in order for sugar to be able to enter cells, your pancreas produces insulin, the hormone that triggers cells to take in sugar, okay? Insulin release can signal to your body to use sugar or to store it for future use. And when there is enough sugar in the blood to keep the cells fueled, again, insulin triggers your liver and muscles to temporarily store that sugar as glycogen. In between meals, when the blood sugar starts to get low, the hormone glycogen triggers the conversion of glycogen back into blood sugar, and this provides that immediate energy to keep us going through the day. This release also happens when we need a burst of energy for emergencies. Isn't it just in that little bit that we talked about? Isn't the body amazing? So basically, when everything in the body is working as it should, our blood levels, our blood sugar levels are tightly regulated. What do you mean by that, Krishanda? What I mean is, okay, again, your beta cells produce insulin in the pancreas, which is your organ located behind the stomach between the liver and the spleen. And as your food is digested, glucose is released into the blood. This increase in blood sugar triggers insulin production. And in contrast, again, when your blood sugar levels become low, other cells in the pancreas make glycogen, which tells the liver to convert glycogen back into glucose. Again, bottom line up front, we used to say that in the military, the bluff is when everything in the body is as it should be, then your blood sugar levels are tightly regulated. You don't have that super spike, that drop off in the afternoon slump, right? But if you're not aware of yourself, of your body, if you're not managing your blood sugar, if you're not taking proper care of yourself, keeping yourself in optimal health, there are a lot of health issues that can come into play related to blood sugar. And again, the glycemic index diet is one of those diets that can help with that. And before we get into the before we get into that, we're going to, before we get into the health issues related to the blood sugar, we will have a commercial break and a word from our sponsors, and then we'll be right back. And we're back, friends. So we left off with talking about the fact that the glycemic index diet is helpful for those who have blood sugar issues or are dealing with diabetes. And we talked about when your sugar is not metabolized properly in your body, it can lead to health issues. So you're probably like, well, what health issues are related to blood sugar, Krishana? Well, I'm so glad you asked. There's, of course, type 1 diabetes. When your pancreas can't produce enough insulin, then type 1 diabetes occurs, and this happens because the beta cells or cells in the liver that produce insulin are destroyed by the immune system. And so this means that type 1 diabetes, for lack of a better word, is actually an autoimmune disease. Insulin isn't being produced and there isn't a way to let glucose into the cells. That is one of the health issues that are related to blood sugar. The other one is type 2 diabetes. Too much insulin is a condition in this condition because the signal that the insulin uses to tell your cells to open isn't functioning properly, which prevents your cells from getting the fuel that they need. And this is what's known as insulin resistance. Now, in both type 1 and type 2 diabetes, the amount of sugar in the blood becomes too high. This causes stickiness and blockages in your blood vessels from which the complications of diabetes arise. Now, there is a relatively new term that we've come to know in the health coaching world, and Dr. Daniel Amen talks about it in his Bright Minds, where he talks about the 11 ways that you can fix your brain. The D in minds is for diabesity. Okay, this is when diabetes and obesity are both present, hence the word diabesity. And the two actually affect each other and go hand in hand oftentimes. The hormone that regulates the appetite effect is also, in essence, affected by blood sugar levels. Okay, you have in your body a hormone known as leptin. This is known as the satiety hormone, and it's produced by fat cells in response to your insulin production. It signals to your brain that you're full. Hey, stop eating, you're full. When you have leptin resistance, this is common in people who are obese, again, under the category of diabesity. It may sound really counterintuitive, but when you have excess body fat or a person actually has a higher level of leptins, the brain no longer responds properly to the fullness signal from the leptin. And so this is kind of similar to insulin resistance in diabetes. And insulin resistance is even one of the triggers for leptin resistance. Then one of the issues that causes diabetes, is of course ghrelin. So tying all of that into diabetes, I just gave you three health issues related to blood sugar: diabetes type 1, diabetes type 2, and diabetes. Okay, so what about ghrelin, Krishana? Now that's known as the hunger hormone, and it's secreted in your digestive tract. It tells your hypothalamus that your body is hungry. And then the production of ghrelin is triggered when the stomach is empty. And so when the stomach is full, this triggers a stop to the ghrelin secretion. Now, ghrelin contributes to the regulation of your blood sugar by halting the release of insulin from the pancreas. And it also triggers the glucose production in the liver. Both of these processes translate to higher blood sugar levels. But what may be a surprise is that ghrelin levels aren't reduced in obesity. They're not, which should lead to reduced appetite. Scientists aren't exactly sure why, but insulin, leptin, and ghrelin functions are often disrupted in obesity. So, we talked about health issues related to your blood sugar. We talked about how sugar is metabolized. We talked about what is blood sugar. So we have to talk about factors that influence your blood sugar, because again, this is why the glycemic index diet is helpful to you. Your blood sugar levels, of course, can be affected by your diet, by your physical activity or lack thereof, by chronic stress. We drink too much water, eat too many bad foods, take too many prescriptions, steroids, birth control, breathe in bad air, and we're highly stressed. We live in a state of chronic stress. I think researchers have actually concluded that as a result of the way that our lives are set up, including the standard American diet, SAD, autoimmune disorders are becoming a first world problem, and stress contributes to that as well. Your gut microbiome, I'm big on the gut, and body fat. So those are the factors that can influence your blood sugar. We won't have time to deep dive all of them today, but make sure that you're aware of them. Again, if you're planning on exploring the glycemic index diet, you want to do so under the supervision of a naturopathic or functional medicine doctor, your nutritionist, dietitian, and your health coach, because these are all the things that you have to, that have to be looked at as to whether or not this dietary theory would be applicable to you or safe for you to experiment with, okay? Finally, we talk about how, ways that you can stabilize or balance your blood sugar. You can crowd out excess sugar. You can eat protein and vegetables before simple carbohydrates. You can eat dietary fiber. You can talk to your functional medicine or naturopathic doctor or your medical collaborative team about supplements that may help you balance your blood sugar. Definitely get a good night's sleep, and you want to aim for a healthy weight. Now, there are some sample blood sugar friendly days. You can, what does that look like? What does a sample blood sugar friendly day look like, Krishanda? Okay, well, there is a sample menu from registered dietitian. I think her name is Sherry Vettel, and it shows how, you know, meals and snacks with the ideal balance of carbohydrates, fat, and protein can help you. It's low in added sugar, includes high fiber or complex carbohydrates that help keep your blood sugar steady. And you'll also notice, if you looked at this sample friendly, a sugar, blood sugar friendly day, chromium is included. Rich broccoli. Chromium is phenomenal for helping you with balancing your blood sugar. Cinnamon, something that you have in your spice cabinet right now, okay? A spice that has actually been linked to enhanced insulin sensitivity, helping you with that, is cinnamon. Cinnamon can help you with your blood sugar, cinnamon can help you with your blood pressure. Again, this is why it's important to be under the care of your medical collaborative team, because dietitians, nutritionists, and health coaches may be able to explore those natural alternatives and may be more familiar with them than your regular physician. Or this is why it's also important to be under the care of a naturopathic or functional medicine doctor, because they study systems, the whole body systems, and they look at symptoms and resolution of the symptoms instead of masking them through prescription. You might not be somebody who wants to take prescription. Don't get me wrong. We have all the specialties of doctors for a reason. You've often heard me say many times, if I'm in a car accident and need a thoracic surgeon, no, don't bring me a supplement, get me a thoracic surgeon. But if it's not that instance, I believe in prevention over prescription. And I'm saying this to you because we need to take control of our health. You are your best health advocate. No matter how many people you have on your medical collaborative team, the CEO, the CFO, the COO of your health needs to be you. So friends, if this podcast resonated with you, I invite you to join me again as we continue going down dietary theory. And I think tomorrow we're up to the letter F. I also invite you to do one of the following. Go ahead and visit my website at www.krishandatorres.com. You can click on the link at the top, the tab at the top called group, and you can look at the different focus and support groups I have if you need support, and you can go ahead and join one of them. You can check out our exciting events at krishandatorres.iin. Health coaching, all one word, .co. This month, we have a masterclass set up for Monday on the power of plants and how you can grow a garden, grow a medicine cabinet right there in your own garden. So definitely check out our exciting events. Stay tuned for more events, and I look forward to chatting with you again, friends. All of the links that I mentioned today in the podcast, the glycemic index diet, what are the benefits of a low glycemic index diet, the book recommendation. I don't know if we got to that or not. I can't remember if I said that earlier, but just in case I didn't, it's a great book you should check out to help you with your health. If you're a believer, as I am, it's called None of These Diseases, The Bible's Health Secrets for the 21st Century by S.I. McMillan and David E. Stern. Both are medical doctors. And if you'd like that blood sugar one-on-one PDF, I'm happy to send it to you. We didn't get to go through every deep level of detail concerning not the balancing the blood sugar, but I didn't get to, for sake of time, because I have another appointment, we didn't get to deep dive the factors that influence blood sugar or the factors on how to balance your blood sugar. But again, I'm happy to send you that blood sugar one-on-one PDF so that you can review it for yourself, read for yourself. Don't take my word for it. Research it for yourself. So until next time, friends, cheers to your health and wealth.